Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Lord replied to Ramananda Rai, "Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, simply the sight of you has melted everyone's heart." Purport. Unless one is a first-class devotee, he cannot be a preacher. A preacher is generally a topmost devotee. But in order to meet the general populace, he has to come to distinguish between devotees and non-devotees. Otherwise, an advanced devotee makes no such distinction. Indeed, he always sees that everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord. When one engages in preaching work, he must distinguish between people and understand that some people are not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The preacher then has to take compassion upon such innocent people who do not know how to worship the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 45, the symptoms of a topmost devotee are described as follows. Sarva bhuteshu ya pashyad bhagvat bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagvyat atmani esha bhagvata uttama. The advanced devotee sees that all living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is in Krishna, and Krishna is also within everyone. Such a vision is possible only for a person who is very advanced in devotional service. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayim Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sandhu Inabandhu Jagatpe Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Namami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhasya Kripa Sindhubha Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padhaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Achyadyade Sutarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. very happy and grateful to be here with all of you on this Sunday morning. And as I look out in the audience of esteemed Vaishnavas, I feel very unqualified to be sitting here and speaking. So I humbly pray to all of you for your blessings, that I can speak something which is relevant to us all and also inspiring. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had taken sannyas and was residing in Jagannath Puri. And he had a desire to go to South India to preach. But he knew that the devotees there were so attached to him, and even he couldn't bear the separation from his close associates. But one day he put it to them that my desire is to go to South India to search out my brother, Vishwarup. His brother had already passed away, and it said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was aware of this. But he actually wanted to go to South India to meet devotees to preach. But this was an excuse. And the devotees headed by Nityananda Prabhu were not very keen on this idea of Lord Chaitanya leaving. And they requested that some of them come with him on this journey. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, I need to do this alone. There was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the conversation. And in the end, they decided to go to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and request his permission. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was recently been delivered by Lord Chaitanya. He was a Mayavadi, very esteemed scholar. And for 7 days and seven nights, he spoke Mayavadi philosophy to Lord Chaitanya, who just sat and listened. After the 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became concerned that this sannyasi is sitting here, but he's not saying anything, not sure whether he's understanding what I'm saying, is he even listening? So he questions him. And then at that point, Lord Chaitanya, one by one, begins to defeat his arguments in relationship to Mayavadi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then realizes that worshipping Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the topmost position. But even though that this was the case, that Lord Chaitanya had so-called defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he regarded him as his senior and therefore went to his home to ask permission. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also very attached to Lord Chaitanya, and he said, only recently have I got your association and now you are leaving me. Again, there was some conversation between the two of them. But in the end, it was decided that Lord Chaitanya would go to South India. He stayed a few extra days in Jagannath Puri to just keep everyone happy. But as he was leaving, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, O Mahaprabhu, I have one request. You please go to this place in South India called Vidyanagar, and you seek out this one devotee called Ramananda Rai. He's a Rasika devotee. When I met him, I made fun of him because I was a Mayavadi and I thought he was sentimental, just following the path of bhakti. But now I've had your association, I've realized that he is a very advanced devotee. You should certainly meet him and spend some time with him. So Lord Chaitanya agreed. And he toured South India and he came to the Godavari River. After taking his bath there, he sat on the bank. And at that time, Ramananda Rai, who was a minister, came in a palanquin with brahmanas chanting. And Lord Chaitanya knew that this was the person he was meant to meet. And this is where we come to in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chapter 44. One of my favorite chapters and probably one of the most important for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because in this chapter, the Siddhant of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is discussed. This conversation between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya is so very important for us to understand what is important in bhakti. And today's verse, we are at the beginning of this meeting. There's been a few exchanges between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai has glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's introduced himself as a Sudra, a low-caste person. And now, after glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse today, Lord Chaitanya is responding and now glorifying Ramananda Rai. And it's so sweet, the interactions between the Lord and his devotees. Even advanced devotees, when we see their interaction, it's very, very beautiful. It's very sweet. Sometimes, as neophyte devotees, we have different experiences of interactions with devotees. And sometimes we have nice experiences and sometimes we have not so nice experiences. But when we see through the pages of Shastra, when we see the example of how devotees, advanced devotees, deal with each other, we see a common pattern. And the first thing that normally happens is there's a mutual exchange of love. We see how devotees genuinely are concerned for each other, their well-being, their situation. And after that, there is glorification of each other, just like we are seeing in today's verse. Then there is some discussion about Krishna consciousness, some discussions of the pastimes of Krishna, maybe some philosophical discussion. And when I was reading this, when I got sent the verse, whenever I get sent the verse, it doesn't matter where I am, I'll just have a quick look just to see what the verse is about. And when I first read the verse, I just skimmed it, I didn't read it properly. And I thought it was actually Ramananda Rai speaking to Lord Chaitanya. Because he says, you are the topmost devotee. And we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined. And Radharani is known to be the topmost devotee of Krishna. It's true that whenever we hear of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, of different devotees seeing Lord Chaitanya, how their hearts just melt. So in this situation, we can understand that Lord Chaitanya is actually seeing his own qualities within Ramananda Rai. Even though Ramananda Rai he is a topmost devotee, he's a very, very advanced devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is regarded as the topmost of all devotees. There are many quotes, many verses of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty. Through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and even in the previous verse, Ramananda Rai glorifies the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. His bodily hue is golden, and his whole body is molten gold. Every part of his body is beautifully constructed and smeared with sandalwood pulp. Accepting the renounced order, the Lord is always equipoised. He is firmly fixed in his mission of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he is firmly situated in his conclusion and in his peace. So it's interesting, and I was just meditating on how different people see different situations. So currently I'm studying the Mahabharata with the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. And it's presented by different scholars. And it's making a point that everyone has a different opinion on the characters from the Mahabharata. Yudhishthira Maharaj, who we know is Dharmaraj, many people think he's the hero of the Mahabharata. But there are also other people that think he was actually not a very good person because he was too tolerant. He didn't protect his wife. He gambled away everything. So everyone has a different outlook. According to our own qualities, there's a famous analogy that we become like the bee. The bee, in any situation, will find the nectar. On the other hand, the crow, even if there is a beautiful garden, will only find the garbage. So we should become like the bee, it said, and always see the good in others. And by seeing the good in others, Krishna sees the good in us. I was listening to this one class, and a devotee was sharing a very personal experience that they had. It's very profound, actually. He was part of the temple management, a very senior devotee, and the temple management, some of the senior devotees were called for a lunch program. And they went there, and as with these things, things got delayed. And this devotee had a very important meeting back at the temple. So he was clock watching, thinking, oh, the time's going, and, you know, the conversation is just continuing. The family had a son, and he was asking lots of questions. So things were getting delayed. This devotee was speaking to his other colleagues that were there and saying that, you know, I need to go. I've got a really important meeting. Please, can we hurry up? And they were like, no, we need to still speak to parents. They want to speak to us privately, so... Time went on, so then the time for his meeting had passed. So he called the temple and he said that, you know, like, please apologize to him and tell him that I'm coming as soon as possible. And in the end, then they said to him that, okay, you and this other devotee, you can go. We'll stay behind and then we'll meet you back at the temple. So they got into the car and they were driving back to the temple. And he was very agitated, this devotee, because he was upset that, you know, he had delayed this very important meeting. He kept this person waiting. And he began to just criticize. He's saying, that son, he speaks so much. He's asking so many questions, so basic questions. Why does he have to talk so much? Now I'm delayed. Everything is just ruined. He got out of the car. When he looked in the driver's seat, he was shocked. It was the son that he was talking about that was sitting there. And he was thinking, oh, Krishna, what have I done? Sometimes we experience this, isn't it? That We go through a situation and we say things that necessarily we don't really mean, but we're just agitated at the situation. He knew that this boy was a very nice boy. It was just a difficult situation. So he said he went straight up to the temple room and he prayed to Krishna. Why did this happen? Why? He was explaining that normally the temples have their own cars and drivers. And the drivers don't understand English. So they have lots of discussions in English and they can say whatever they want to say. And, you know, the driver won't be listening or he won't understand. So he thought it was just a temple car that had come to pick him up. He didn't realize that it was the sun that was actually dropping him. So he was praying so sincerely that, Krishna, why did this happen to me? And when he opened his eyes, he realized. Just at that point, when he opened his eyes, he saw another devotee pass in front of him, just in between him and the deities. And he said, when he saw that devotee, he realized why this had happened. Because some weeks ago, he had spoken to another devotee about that devotee that just passed him, saying that this devotee doesn't know what to say, when to say it, or who to say it to. He had criticized him. So he knew that because he had criticized him, that Krishna was now teaching him a lesson. It's interesting, when I was first coming into Krishna consciousness, was quite new. When you're quite new, you're quite fired up and you do things as properly as you can. And I used to sit with devotees sometimes and get lifts with them. And they would chant and drive at the same time. And I used to think, oh, these devotees, you know, why are they chanting and driving? This is not attentive. This is not good. And I used to tell people, you know, this devotee is chanting and driving, is meant to be, you know, senior. What's going on? A few years down the line, I started chanting and driving. Because I felt like I just didn't have the time to fit in the rounds. And then I thought to myself, wow, I'm a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. Just, I was criticizing these people, but now I'm doing exactly the same thing. And it's funny that, so about 4 or 5 years ago, I bought a car. It's a Tesla. And Teslas weren't so around so much. In those times, about 4 or 5. Now we see Teslas all the time, but they weren't around so much. And I used to take devotees for a ride because they're very futuristic cars. They're very fast. And they also have something called an autopilot, which basically the car drives itself. And I used to show devotees this, that, you know, if you press this, like, it starts driving itself. I give a demonstration. And the first thing that every single devotee said to me when they saw that was like, wow, Prabhu, that means that you can chant and drive now. The devotees are always thinking about chanting. And when I'm flying my plane, they always ask me, oh, Prabhu, do you have autopilot in here? And I was just like, no, I have to fly it myself, hand fly it. Oh, you can't chant and fly then. So, yes, devotees are always thinking. But I had this realization that when we criticize people, even though we may not be doing that thing right now, it can lead us to fall down that path. But when we see the good in others, and everyone has some good in them, you know, even someone that we may think is full of bad qualities, they have something good in with them. If we can just see that good and glorify it genuinely, those good qualities, even though we may not have them, will come into us, just like the opposite. So it's so important not to criticize devotees as much as possible. Now, sometimes we may have a position of management where we need to see how people can improve themselves. So we need to see their faults, maybe their shortcomings, and give them some guidance. For most of us, we're not really in that position. So for us, there's no need to criticize. And sometimes it's because of envy. We want to feel better, make ourselves feel better. I was listening to One Glass, and the speaker was sharing that, you know, generally, if someone's a good cook and you're a kirtaniya, you don't mind so much if they're doing amazing service. But if someone's a better kirtaniya than you, then you start to think, oh, why is this person better than me? Or when you go to their kirtan, you start to try and find out mistakes. Oh, he didn't sing this properly. Oh, he should have sung it like this. So envy is like this. But I heard this very nice quote that if we can feel happiness when someone is doing well in their service, genuinely feel joy for them, we get the same benefit. Jai Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. We can get the same benefit as them, which is so profound, if we genuinely feel happy for that person. And when we have those qualities within us, where we see the good in others, then Krishna begins to reveal himself. Because even when Krishna was on this planet, not everyone recognized him as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. That I don't reveal myself to everyone. I cover myself. But those devotees who have advanced spiritual vision, they can see me. Jayavadharma speaks about the different types of devotees, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport, about the Uttamadhikari. He doesn't see a difference between a devotee and non-devotee, because he sees that in some way or another, even the non-devotees are serving Krishna. Maybe not directly, maybe in an indirect sense, but they're serving Krishna. So an Uttama Adhikari has to come down to the Madhyam platform to then see that, okay, this person isn't doing direct service, so let me try and engage them. Let me try and help them. Jayavadharma gives a definition of these three different types of devotees or their symptoms. Jayavadharma is a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in this book, it's different conversations between sadhikas and the guru. And the it's like a question and answer. So the question was put, who is a Vaishnava, to the guru? And the guru said that a person who chants without offense is a Vaishnava. Within that, there's the Kanishta Adhikari, who sometimes chant, sometimes doesn't chant. There's the Madhyam Adhikari, who's always chanting the names of the Lord, even when driving. And the Uttama Adhikari is someone's, when you see an Uttama Adhikari, you feel like chanting. When you see their face, you feel like chanting. So he said that Lord Chaitanya has given this determination or criterion to determine who is a Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport that generally an advanced devotee is a preacher. And when we think of a preacher, I personally think of, you know, someone like Sutapa Prabhu, going out on books, you know, convincing people that Vahradev is actually a Liverpool player, and the earth is a ball, and he's heading it into the goal to distribute books, going out in all types of weather, different conditions. You know, it's not easy. Suffering abuse and from different people in the street, being ignored, you know, sometimes being shouted at. And then we think of someone sitting and giving a lecture to thousands of people, you know, using wonderful analogies, quoting different verses from Shastra. And these are definitely preachers. But what we don't think of so often is the person who's doing aarti as being a preacher. The person who's cleaning the floor as being a preacher. Because ultimately they are all preachers. When someone new comes to the temple and they see how wonderfully the pujari is offering the incense with such deep meditation, they feel inspired. When they see someone so mindfully cleaning the temple, they think, wow, there must be something amazing. This person's, you know, just so attentively cleaning, and they're not even getting paid for this. So this is all preaching. Our actions, whatever we do on a day-to-day life, when people know we're devotees, or even if they don't know we're devotees, but they see within us our good qualities, this is preaching. There's this famous quote from the Christian tradition that says, always preach and sometimes speak. So preaching is not always about speaking. It's more about what we are doing. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada goes on in this purport to mention about the topmost devotees, one of the qualities. And one of the qualities is that Prabhupada mentions and quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam is that they see Krishna within everything. Vidya vina sampanne brahmane gavi hastini suni cheva svapakecha pandita samadarshana. A true pandit, he sees Krishna within everything. A brahmana, an elephant, gold, stone. And Prahlad Maharaj, when he was speaking to his classmates about what he had learned in the womb, he spoke a very similar verse. Hari sarveshu bhuteshu bhagwan asta ishvara iti bhutani manasa kamaste sadhu manyate. One should always remember Krishna in his form as Paramatma, who is situated in the heart of every living entity. Thus, he should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position. Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport of this verse that the Mayavadis believe that you are God. Everyone is God. But this verse teaches us that actually everyone has God inside them, but they are different from God. I remember with one of my first preaching, I was quite new, maybe 1 or 2 years into being introduced into bhakti. And our community decided to keep a program for Holi, the festival. And they asked me to help organize it, and we organized the paints and everything like that. And then they asked me, like, would you like to speak something there? And I was, no, I'm not really a speaker. And they're like, oh, it'll be nice, you know, there'll be new people coming, you can explain about what Holi is. And my housemate who introduced me to Krishna consciousness, Yashoda Sutta Prabhu, who you all may know, he said, no, you should do it, you know. Otherwise, if you don't do it, they'll get someone else, and then they won't know anything. It will just be some hodgepodge. So you should do it. And I was like, I'm quite a shy person. I don't really like speaking in public. And they're like, no, you'll be fine. Don't worry. Just do it. So I agreed to do it, and they had also organized another speaker to be there on the day. So I was sitting, and then the speaker comes up, and he starts speaking Mayavadi philosophy. And I was like, oh, Krishna. Like, Prabhupada goes on about Mayavadi so much in his books, and I never understood it, because I've never met a Mayavadi in my life before. And I was thinking, why is Prabhupada just talking and talking about Mayavadis in every purport? He's just mentioning them. You know, why is he doing this? And then I realized that, you know, there's so many people, so many spiritualists who are Mayavadis. And Prabhupada says that if you scratch the surface of any person from India, it will probably turn out that they're a Mayavadi. And it's just that the philosophy is so offensive in one sense, because you think yourself to be God. So, you know, I was sitting there and I was listening, and I was next. He was speaking about something else. So I went up there and I began to just defeat all the arguments he was saying. And I didn't know where this was coming from, because this is not what I had prepared. But it must have just been the reading of Prabhupada's books that something had sunk in. And, you know, and then I spoke my little, after defeating all his points, then I spoke a little bit about the festival of Holi. And this person was fuming. He was like, get me back on the stage right now. And he goes, I have to give a response to this. And I was a bit worried, because there wasn't any other senior devotees around that I could say, okay, if he starts giving me counterpoints, what do I say to this? But he didn't give any counterpoints. He just came up and said some things about Vaishnavism, which we won't go into. But he knew he was defeated. And I came back and I told Yashoda Sutta Prabhu what had happened. And he was just like, oh, that person, when I gave his name, he said, that person's a famous Mayavadi. Like, oh, you did so good, like you defeated him. And my dad, my father was in the audience, and he's like, you know, you shouldn't do stuff like that. That's not nice. but just one thing that I found with whenever you're doing something for Krishna, you get some inspiration from within sometimes in the most difficult times. I know that many times I've prepared classes, and you know, I've come and I've just spoke something completely different, just because I've had that inspiration from Krishna, or maybe from the prayers of the devotees, that something different comes out, and devotees say, oh, that was really something I needed to hear. So it's so magical and mystical when we do some service for Krishna, that Krishna really tries to help us in this regard. So meditating on Krishna being within every living entity. Prahlad Maharaj goes on to say, what is the benefit of doing this? Vramnijita sadavarge kriyate bhaktirishvare vasudeve bhagavati yaya samlabhyate rati. By this activity, one is able to cut down the six enemies: lust, anger, greed, illusion. And then, once those are cut down, then we can be situated properly in devotional service. Lord Krishna also gives a similar verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto. He says that if we can do this, if we can see, if you can see me in every living entity, then all these bad qualities, they'll be gone. And you know, when I read something like this, I try and practice it. So I try and, when I see different people, I think, oh, you know, Krishna's within this person, offer my obeisances within my mind. If I see like a spider or something, oh, Krishna's within this spider, offer my obeisances to this spider, well, to Krishna within the spider. And then what happens is generally you forget after some time to do it. Or someone treats you quite harshly. They say something to you, and then it's very difficult for you to see Krishna within that person because you think, oh, you know, you're just agitated by what this person said. Krishna also says this, that sharp words, they're more piercing to the heart than arrows are. And Uddhav, in the 11th canto, he asked Krishna, that what can we do about this? What can we do when someone says something to us which is insulting? How can we remain fixed? How can we not be affected by this? I work in retail, so I deal with a lot of people day in and day out. And, you know, 99% of people are pleasant, and it's a nice interaction. But you get those people who are just either very rude, they're insulting, they get angry at you for something that's sometimes not even your fault. And it's so difficult then to say that, oh, this person is, you know, has Krishna within them, that I should tolerate it, I should not be affected. And you know, you can have 99 good interactions in the day, but you'll remember that one bad interaction at the end of the day. You won't remember the 99 good things that happened. Even after, you know, giving a class, you know, 10 people could come and say, oh, Prabhu, is a very nice class. One person could say that, oh, actually, Prabhu, like, you know, I fell asleep. And you'll remember that person that said he fell asleep. You won't remember the people that said it was nice and encouraged you. So Krishna then speaks this story of the Avanti Brahmana. And it's very interesting because when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he also sung this song of the Avanti Brahmana. So it's something very important. And he gives this story about this Brahmana who was a very miserly person. He didn't have the qualities of a Brahmana. Shamo, Damo, Tapa, Shosham. He didn't have any of these qualities. He was actually the opposite. And he was such a miser that he didn't even spend money on himself. So, you know, many people in this world, you know, they can be stingy when it comes to spending on others. But when it comes to spending on themselves, they'll spend. But this person didn't even do that. He didn't spend on his family, even when they needed things. Even when the time was right to spend wealth, he wouldn't spend it. So his family started to get very agitated with him. He wasn't performing any sacrifices. That was his duty as a Brahmana. So the demigods became upset with him. And they took away some of his wealth. When the family members realized that his wealth was depleting, they decided that they would steal his wealth and run away. So he is left with nothing. Now imagine the thing that you treasure the most, that your whole life you've been collecting, looking after, is taken away from you in an instant. He was so upset. But in that condition, he had a feeling of renunciation and started reflecting. You know, many times when we're in a good situation, it's hard for us to reflect, to go deeper into our practices, because everything's good, everything's nice. I remember when I became a devotee, or I got introduced into Krishna consciousness, and yeah, as in my second year of uni, so I just started chanting, I was doing some service, I was listening to kirtan, the classes, reading, and you know, I was like, okay, that's it. I'm a devotee now. And now I'm a devotee, Krishna's going to roll out the red carpet for me. Whenever I want something, I just have to say it, and I'm sure Krishna will just arrange it. You know, if someone mistreats me, then they're going to get punished. And I was thinking like this, and I was, you know, chanting my rounds, and I was being trying to be a good devotee. And then what happened was, in my second year, I failed one of my exams, which meant I had to retake the whole year. And I was thinking, Krishna, you know, every day I chanted, even the days I had exams, I chanted. And this is what happened. You know, before, when I wasn't a devotee, I was passing exams. So what happened? I thought Krishna's meant to help me. So many times we have this misconception that, especially as new devotees, we think that as soon as we take to this path, you know, everything's going to be easy. But actually, sometimes things get difficult. But we don't know what's good for us. So even though I had to retake the whole year, I only had to sit, I think, one exam. So I had a lot of free time. So in that year, I managed to read the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. I started Sanskrit classes here. And really, it was a transforming year for me. So when I look back at it, I think that actually is one of probably the most positive things that happened. So Krishna is always looking out for us, but sometimes we have to go through difficulty, and through that difficulty, we reflect, and through that reflection, we can go deeper into Krishna consciousness. Queen Kunti also prays like this, that, you know, let bad things happen to me, because in those bad times, I remember you more intensely than I do in the good times. So he understood that all this time I've been endeavoring for wealth, but what good is this wealth? At the time of death, is this wealth going to help me? No. All this wealth is actually useless. It causes more problems than good. So he decided, now I'm just going to become a sadhu. I'm going to do austerities. I'm going to take a vow of silence. So he did that. He left home. He just walked, just meditating on Krishna within his heart. Begging from house to house. And he got treated terribly. Srimad Bhagavatam explains how people would urinate on him. They would speak insults to him. They would say to him that this person is not a sadhu. He just had his wealth taken away, and now, in a guise of a sadhu, he's trying to make more money. He's not a sadhu. So many insults he tolerated. And Krishna's telling this pastime to Uddhava. And he's saying that he didn't get disturbed. How was it that he didn't get disturbed? He sung this song. And within this song, he explains to himself that happiness and distress is actually coming from the mind. The mind thinks that this is good for me, this will bring me happiness, and the mind thinks that this is bad, and this will bring me sadness. Because we embrace this mind, this is why we are affected by these different things. But if we simply meditate on Krishna at all times, then we are not affected by these things. So it's a very difficult to put into practice to always remember Krishna. But that is essentially our principle, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. I remember once I was here at the manor in the morning. It was many, many years ago. It was during Japa time. And chanting, and there was some gas explosion. Does anyone remember that? There was a gas explosion that happened. And there was a big noise here in the manor. And everyone went silent. Everyone stopped chanting. And I was thinking that this is what happens to us, that when we're in a difficult situation, the first thing that we stop doing is chanting. But, you know, that was, you know, that could have been anything. We didn't know what it was at the time. But we should have been chanting more intensely. But it's just natural that we just stop. So we have to train ourselves. We have to spend time with advanced devotees, serving them, reading. Just all those basic things, if we continue to do them, then Krishna more and more will help us remember him. Because he says in the Bhagavad Gita that he's the cause of remembrance and forgetfulness. But it's also our desire. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamstatevya bhajamyaham. How we approach Krishna is how he reciprocates. So if we don't want to remember Krishna, he won't remind us. But if we're making that endeavor that we want to remember him, we want to try our best, then he'll help us to remember him. So those were some of my thoughts for today. We saw how Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai interacted with each other in such a loving and positive way. And how we cannot be affected, or try not to be affected, by the things that are going on externally. And to try and always remember Krishna. So I'd like to thank you all very much for your kind attention. And if there's any questions or comments or corrections, then please, I'd like you to, you can say them now. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. So is constructive criticism an offense?
See, I think it always depends on the place where it's coming from. If it's a genuine desire to help someone, and we're in that position of, you know, either being a senior elder person to them, or we know that person very well, then yes, then it's okay, because it's required. That's why we have gurus, that's why we have the mentorship system. Those people are there to help you, and they're doing it, you know, but they should all have that responsibility that they're doing it from a place of compassion, a place of encouraging you to become a better devotee to please Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I read the verse in translation?
Finder, I just don't remember.
Okay.
Thank you, sorry.
No problem. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.